find in a jewelry store, but I know that there's something hidden in there. And so what he'll do is he'll take that lump that has a little bit of gold and a whole lot of impurities, and he'll take it to the fire. And the only way to separate the impurities from the gold is to turn on the heat. Amen. And as the heat goes on and the heat goes on, these impurities rise to the surface. And the goldsmith, knowing exactly what he's doing because he's done this thousands of times before. And the gold might cry out, "Why are you doing this to me?" But it does not know the process of which it's going through. And so the goldsmith sifts through and takes those impurities and dumps them out because they're useless. But it leaves the gold. But there's still some impurities. So he turns up the heat even hotter. And he continues to take away the impurities until he's left with something precious. Something pure. The more heat that is applied, the more purity is found. Peter says that's what your faith is like. You got some faith. You got some faith, and Jesus thinks it's so valuable. You know, things that aren't valuable, you throw them away. But when things are valuable and worth it, you work on them. Amen? Is that not the reason why we have so many broken relationships today? People don't value what they have and they throw it away and try to start over again. Amen. I heard so much we're in a disposable generation. We just throw away and look for new, throw away and look for new. But Jesus says, your faith is valuable to me, so I'm going to put some work into it. And this is how I do it. I put the heat on in your life. I'm going to take you through some valleys where you'll find out who I really am. Amen? Because there is something beyond being baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. There is growth that Jesus sees potential in you beyond your firstborn state. Amen? So he extracts the purity out of your life. You see, we wish the answer was more Bible studies. That's what really we wish it was. God, make me pure just by more Bible studies, more song services, more prayer meetings. But you know how it works in the kingdom? Some things will only be grown in your life that no amount of Bible studies will ever bring to pass. Some things can only be found in your life that more prayer meetings can't bring to pass. We can pray until we're blue in the face, and we can read until we know it all, and we'll have a knowledge on par with the devil who has this word memorized. But there is some growth in your life that Jesus trusts you enough to take you through the trial by fire. To say, I trust this child of God. They can make it. I know it seems like it's getting hot. I know it seems uncomfortable. I know it seems unfair. But there is some faith in you that I want to pull out the purity. I want to make you grow. I want to use you. And the only way I can use you is to take you through something difficult. Amen? I love this. I've probably said it before. And I'm a dad now, so I can repeat stories. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I made it. Thank you, Lord. And you guys have to pretend like you never heard it before. Amen. I passed by this church sign and it said, I prayed, God help me to grow. And then it started to rain. Amen. I prayed, God help me grow. And then it started to rain. You see, there's a reason why love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, goodness. What's the last one? Meekness, faith, temperance. Did I say that? Mercy. Is that one of them? Yeah. Okay. There's a reason those are called fruit of the Spirit and not gifts of the Spirit. What's the difference between a fruit and a gift? Gifts are given. Fruit are grown. Amen? So if you want love, God is going to take you through some unloving situations. If you want to grow patience, God is going to keep taking you through the fire of waiting. The fire of waiting until you grow patience where God says, I can move them on to the next test. If you want to grow joy, God is going to take you through some situations that are miserable and difficult and confusing to see if my child of God can learn how to have joy like Paul, to say, I have joy when I'm poor, I have joy when I am rich. I have learned to, in all situations, to be content, for I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Amen. Fruit are grown, but Jesus is this faithful one who will meet you in the fire to say, I want to take you through the valley. There's no other way to do this, but you are not alone. Amen. He doesn't just push you off and say, I'll see you on the other side. But Jesus says, look for me. I'm in the valley. Look for me. I'm in the valley. Amen. But God, there's this voice inside of us that says, God would never want me to go through suffering. To which Peter says, you're wrong. In chapter 4 and verse 19. 1 Peter 4 and 19. Wherefore let them that suffer, how? According to the will of God. There is a suffering according to the will of God. Oh my goodness. Does it mess with you the way it messes with me? And what's the prescription? What's the direction? What's the answer? Commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. I love the word. I love the word. This is so powerful. Because God is going to bring you through some suffering. If you're not there yet, you will be there eventually. And His answer is that you would commit the keeping of your souls unto Him. How? As unto a faithful Creator. Can you leave that up there, Brother Ethan? This is what this means. If this is my soul, it's small, it's dark. This is my soul. It's light. It's fluffy. That word, commit the keeping, is one Greek word. And all it means is to lay before and to leave it. It means to leave it behind. It means to make a deposit. When you deposit something to someone, you don't go, you do that at the bank, they're going to love that. Deposit your money. Just go in, out. Whoop, take it. Okay. You got to get I don't like what you're doing. When you deposit something, you got to leave it there. The Bible says to deposit your soul with Jesus as unto a faithful Creator. Amen. Can Jesus be trusted with your soul? Can Jesus be trusted with your family? Can Jesus be trusted with your finances? Can Jesus be trusted with your future, with your dreams? Can Jesus be trusted with your hopes and your wants out of life? Can Jesus be trusted with everything that you have? Because He's going to take you to a place of suffering. And instead of seeing it as a hindrance or as this bad thing, what if we saw it as an opportunity to say, Jesus, here's a little bit more of me that I've never given you before. Jesus, I've held on to this part of my life. Why don't you take it, God? I completely take my hands off of it. I remember one time doing that with my car. I think we weren't getting air conditioning in the Honda. This was the vehicle that the church came together and helped us purchase. And I remember exactly where I was driving, right where I was at the children's home, where I said, God, this isn't even my car. This isn't my car, God. This is your car. This is your problem. Because to get the air conditioning fixed was looking like $300+. Anyone ever got air conditioning fixed in a vehicle? It's not in the $50 range. It's hundreds of dollars. God, this is your problem. And within hours, we found a fix that was like $10 or $15. I'm telling you, it's for you, it's for you, it's for you. If you start getting your hands off of your situations, if you start taking your hands off of your health and stop worrying about it as if it was all in your hands and say, God, I'm going to give this completely to you. And like Brother Rodriguez preached right here so powerfully that we would give it to him in just worship. I promise God is going to take care of you. Amen. Amen. He's going to take care of you. We just have to leave it at his feet. Is there a situation that you've been holding on to and worrying about? You see, we feel entitled to worry. We do. We feel like it's our responsibility to worry. Like if we don't worry, we're not being responsible adults. That's the natural way to think about it. But the word promises, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek him first, and all these things will be added unto you. This is Peter's response to our worrying hearts in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. He says, casting all of your cares. Cast all of your cares. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. How many of your cares? All of them. How radical. What would your life look like if you casted all of your cares upon him? And Peter didn't even need to add this last bit, but he added it just so that you knew he careth for you. Do you care for your children? God cares about you a whole lot more. Jesus cares about your well-being a whole lot more than you care about your kiddos. That's how much he loves you. And so he says, cast it upon me. Quit worrying. Quit letting it turn in your mind. How is this going to work out? Quit trying to figure out how is God going to come through. I don't know what we're going to do. How many have had this conversation as you drive? I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what we're going to do. But the word of God proclaims over and over again, commit it to God as unto a faithful creator. I'm telling you, as a promise from the living God today, Jesus is going to come through for you. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what your health is looking like or your finances. Come on, we're living it. God is going to come through for you. He's faithful. He's faithful and he's faithful. When Jesus comes in the end, the Bible says that his name is written on his thigh and his name is faithful and true. Jesus is faithful and true. If you're a follower of God, going through a place of trial, you fit in with the likes of Noah, who had to build for decades not knowing what was going on. You fit in with Abraham, who had to sacrifice his child on the top of a mountain. You fit in with Moses, who had to lead a bunch of people who hated him about every other day. You fit in with Gideon, who was trying to live a good life until an angel said, you man of valor. You fit in with Elijah and Elisha. You fit in with David, who was anointed before God and was returned to the sheep. You fit in with the same David who was chosen to be a king and then was cast out of the kingdom and had to run for his life. Not once, but twice. David had to run from the king before him. And then who else did David have to run from? His own son. What is a king doing running from his own son? Could you imagine being David, chosen to be the king of Israel? God, what am I doing? He's running for his life. God, where are you? I'm supposed to be the king. God, you promised me. You anointed me in the presence of my brethren, Lord. What is my life do? What are you doing with my life, God? Hiding in mountains, in valleys. But I promise you, there was a depth that gave David the ability to write, Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That same David that ran for his life was able to say that God was faithful to me in every valley. Amen. As we close up, I want to tell you that Jesus is waiting for you in the fire. Amen. Even though it might seem that everything is heating up, that family, who knows that family can be a trial? That family never seems to work out. He's waiting for you in your difficulty. All you have to do is call on his name and he will be there for you. Amen. 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 We're not at the theater. Amen. God, you just have to call on his name. He is faithful and he will remember his promises to you. And so I want to read one last reminder from Peter in chapter 5 and verse 8 through 11. Be sober, church, and be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. This is talking about the devil, whom resists steadfast in the faith, knowing what? That the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. It's a lie from the enemy that nobody else is going through what you're going through. That's a lie from the enemy. That what you're going through, you can't make it. You won't make it through what you're going through. You won't make it. That's a lie from the enemy, where the devil isolates you and say, nobody is hurting like you're hurting. Nobody is of want like you're of want. Nobody is talked about like you're being talked about. Peter says that there's people going through this, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. This is where it gets so important. Not before, after that ye have suffered a while. What's the point? To make you perfect, to establish you, to strengthen you, and to settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Go back to verse 10. Jesus wants to settle your heart. Because when we're in the midst of this trial and when we're in the midst of this valley, your heart is all over the place. Your mind is reeling and your mind is racing. God, how is this going to figure out? God, what about my family? What about my kids? What about everything, God? What about everything, God? And what he wants to do is settle your heart. Jesus is faithful and he will be faithful to you. So I invite every person here that you would pray, God, I know I'm either in a trial or I will be in a trial. Jesus, help me to mature. Jesus, help me to be settled. Help me to be strengthened. I invite you to the altar again. Amen. To come forward and connect with God. Amen. Imagine it's your pastor calling you forward. I invite you. Amen. If you want him, if you want Jesus to be a part of your trial and in the middle of your valley, if you've ever been through something, you know how important it is. So let's call out to God and say, Jesus, help me, Lord God, to grow in the midst of my valley. Jesus, help me to find you in the midst of my fire, Lord God. I need you, Lord God. Increase my faith. Amen. So call out to God. He is right here. Jesus, help me, Lord, to find you, God. Help me to be settled, Lord God. Settle my heart. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, settle our hearts, Jesus.